boy.
All right. Okay.
Almost wish Craig did get it.
Oh man. Oh. All right. Well, that's a good way to start off the cast. So yeah, thanks everyone for joining us tonight. If you were here before our bot started recording, you heard some pretty funny stuff. Good evening, Tarkan. What's up?
Good evening. Good evening.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, outside of that bomb that was dropped, I want to tell a quick little story that is really cool. And this is just a quick aside about how you guys probably don't realize, you may not realize how wide a net the Discord and QS really is as far as, you know, our reach. So I'm currently in the Philippines, and I needed one of those 400 count car singles boxes, you know, the cardboard boxes that hold like 400 or 500 cards. And I asked a local merchant. There was a store here in Manila in the Philippines. Like, hey, do you happen to have anybody to recommend? He recommends to me to this store owner that's like way out in this beach town, right? So he connects me via Facebook, and this guy's like, oh, hey, yeah, you're the Ion guys, right? And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I totally keep a pulse as to what's going on. You're QS and Ion, right? He's like, yeah, I'll go ahead and send you a box, a singles box. No problem. I'll go ahead and ship it out to you and have it your way. Good job. Keep up the good work. I was blown away, man. Blown away. This is and just so you guys know, this store is Affinity CCG, affinitycg.com. You guys should check them out. So I was absolutely stunned. And this isn't even, we're not talking like the capital city, like Manila. This is this beach town way out, kind of out in the skirts. He's like, yeah, man, I keep a pulse on it. You guys are awesome. Keep it up. I was like, I couldn't believe it, man. So big shout out to Joe and affinitycg.com in the Philippines. It was absolutely amazing. And he sent me, hooked me up with a little box to keep cards in. I was stunned, man. But that's just want to show you guys that this Discord and QS and everything we're doing here really reaches far, man. I mean, we have a really wide reach, and it's amazing. And I can't tell you, like, this happens regularly. This one in particular is really interesting. But, you know, I'll be in these capital cities abroad in Asia and whatnot, and I'll run into people at these stores like, oh, yeah, man, Quiet Speculation. I listen to the cast or, you know, read the articles. It's really awesome. So just a quick story, let you guys know that, you know, we got something really great going on here. And yes, Efren, we're going to get this moving. Don't worry.
Really quickly, it's just to, you know, go off what you were saying too, it was really crazy when I was back in New York and I frequented one of these local gaming stores over in Connecticut, and I went there all the time, and it was just funny because one day, like, I walked in, he's like, hey, so, like, is there like an update for Ion? I was like, what? Yeah. And I was like, yeah. Sure. And awesome. And I was like, you use Quiet Spec? And he was like, yeah, man, like, I got the scanner has really been helping and this, that, and that thing. Like, really? And, you know, we just talked about it, and I went to the store so many times, never came up. And then finally I was just like walked in one day and he was just like, yeah, just talking about the scanner. I was like, all right.
Yeah,
cool.
Man. Yeah. It's awesome. But it's just,
hopefully
it's
he's so in the Discord.
Yeah, it's so fulfilling. And then too, Chaz, you know, it's crazy, but we sort of have a regular circulation of people that frequent Discord a lot, but
yeah.
I don't know if you guys ever look and see on, like, sometimes there are like 75 people online, and sure, not all of them are active, but I mean, people are in here, they pop in, they pop out, they listen, sometimes they contribute, you know, it's really, we really got a good thing going here. So, you know, again, I just want to share a story and let you guys know that.
I mean, there's like consistently awesome. Like 60 to 70 people online at any one given time. When there's like actual events, and you know, before, you know, just to kind of give you all some transparency and like background here, like when we first started Discord and then like we were ramping up to like the security stuff, like I would routinely have to prune the users. Like, it gives me an option to prune users that don't have a role, and it would routinely prune like 10 15 20 people, and you know, that was good because it just kind of like got everything, you know, got people out that, you know, weren't really, they were kind of just like hanging out, didn't really have a role. Now it maybe removes like two people, one, you know, three people, and there's like 250 users. So pretty crazy. But yeah, don't want to digress too much. Just to be forward, I mean, for this cast, there wasn't a whole lot to talk about And I know a couple insiders wanted us to bring up the Watsi Direct, you know, and that, you know, what the implications of that are. And, you know, with that ending, you know, how that could potentially increase prices, like, you know, in store and with, you know, distributors and stores buying that. We wanted to hold on, hold off for that till until next week, because we were trying to line up a guest that, you know, at least one of the store owners that frequent the Discord, try to get one of them on to just kind of go through that with us a little more in depth. So hopefully we can have that by next week for everyone, just so we can get, you know, some actual on the ground information about that, and not just like, you know, we have our, you know, knowledge and our expertise on it, but, you know, it's obviously better to get it from a store owner.
Yeah. And I mean, the one thing to realize here is that it is not in these distributors' best interest to slit their throats. Okay. No. I would wager that, yeah, it's possible that there are now some opportunities for them to do some things. I'm not gonna say unscrupulous, but some things that may be pushing things in their favor that they maybe, you know, weren't able, you know, there might be more holding on of product and whatnot. But the bottom line is none of these companies, first of all, they're all competing with each other. Second of all, they're not in business to hurt themselves. So they're not going to do anything that could jeopardize their business. So if prices raise and they hold, that's frankly because the market, they've got research or whatnot, or they were testing the market and it showed that, yeah, people will pay a little bit more for a pack. I mean, this could happen, right? Or a box or whatnot. So I don't assume this is a doomsday scenario. As a matter of fact, to be completely honest with you, and this is from a conversation I had with some of our execs or one of the execs at QS, you should actually be more concerned about the quote-unquote clubhouse stores. And you guys know the stores I'm talking about. These are the stores that are basically backpackers who try and open a storefront with just a cabinet only so that they can get cheap sealed product, not because they're actually interested in running, you know, an LGS. These guys or people, the problem is that what can happen with these is that the distributors want to fire sell their stuff as fast as possible. So these clubhouse stores that don't manage themselves very well will take advantage of getting as much product as they can on terms. And buying on terms means they can basically buy on credit. And then when it comes time to fulfill their obligations to pay for their credit, they've either run their store into the ground or they've mismanaged their finances and they're not able to pay up. And then the distributor takes a hit. And this is a very real thing. And there's actually been a lot of, from what I was told from a successful store owner at QS, this is a real concern because these sort of riffraff shops can create some real problems in not only supply chain, but revenue loss to distributors, et cetera. So I'm actually less concerned about exploitation by the distributors, though I'm not saying that that's not going to happen to some degree. It's possible. But I'm more concerned with the buyers from the distributors and the ones that can't. You know, what you had with Watsi Direct was you had a consistent supply chain that was controlled that could be bought with cash. So a store could say, I'm going to send you a check. You're going to send me supply that I know you have in stock. You no longer have that now. And you have distributors that are, their whole goal is to just get rid of products. So they're going to sell as fast as they can. And if you have these stores that try to exploit them or try and get cheap product, or they don't know what they're doing, it could cause problems. So long story short, I'm not really concerned with the distributors slitting their throat or messing with the market too much that it's going to cause any real issues. I'm not too worried about that. I'm more concerned about the fact that at least there was a safety valve of supply coming from Watsi that didn't have the interests of just selling product and distribution. That was literally there for stores that were in the direct program. So that's my very, very take on it. I am no expert. We're going to try and have someone next week to come on and really talk through this. And maybe I'm wrong in my conjecture, but that's my perspective.
Sounds good. Yeah, like I said, we'll try to get a store owner on to go through the specifics of that, so everyone has that information as well. Really quickly, so we got a date for the San Diego Comic-Con promos for 2018. So that will be on 8/13. I posted it in the spoilers channel for insiders. So you have that link, and you know that's, you know, the date. Normally these go up around 11. EST from what I remember. It could be different. You just really have to kind of, you know, F5 and kind of have every, literally like every outlet of information open. So hopefully you can get that. I'm assuming they will sell fairly quickly. It's back down to the normal MSRP. So yeah. And then what else? We got Commander 2018 on Monday. So spoiler start for that. And I was talking to a few insiders. I kind of wanted to bring this up that normally what we see for Commander products is we get this kind of like initial hype. You know, once we kind of figure out the theme, you know, last time it was like we figured out that it was going to be wizards and cats and all that other stuff. So all of these general tribal theme cards and then the more specific cards for every card started to increase, and we didn't even see the set yet. You know, everyone was kind of already selling because, you know, they were already kind of locking in their value and their profit. But what ends up happening is there's like a second wave of hype on all those same cards. So cards we talked about, I mean, obviously they're on the reserve list, so it helps, like cards like Squandered Resources and stuff like that, I feel could almost have another increase once we see what is actually in the set. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. We, you know, you don't want to go in too deep on stuff because it could get reprinted. And some cards can 100 like just get totally, you know, made obsolete by new cards. So, you know, I think we kind of hedged a little bit on some of the more overarching cards. And then obviously some stuff on the reserve list that is, you know, you don't have to worry about that. But there are a few cards that don't have as much of a chance getting reprinted, even if it's like stuff that's not too old yet. But there's a couple cards like, you know, Oracle of Moldiah, stuff like that, that is kind of like really high up there on the reprint list that I wouldn't be, you know, super eager to go in on. But, it, you know, this happens frequently with the Commander stuff, is that we get this like initial hype and then we actually see the cards and actually see like what we're working with. And then there's like another initial and then another like secondary hype.
Yeah, and I think this one is going to be really interesting given the whole Planeswalker focus. I mean, there's a chance that this ends up being the best-selling commander set that they've done. Who knows? But I mean,
feels like we say that for every commander set.
Yeah, and it feels like they just knock it out of the park every time, to be honest with you. And Planeswalkers are so awesome. And if these Planeswalkers are super interesting as commanders, I mean, this one could really, really, you know, be a serious winner. Which means that obviously the cards on the secondary market that are around these, you know, that would be good for these decks stand to see some nice gains. So it's definitely going to be something that we're going to be, you know, next week's going to be a flurry of activity. You know, you want to be in Discord. You really want to be have your pulse on spoilers for that, because I think there's going to be a lot of activity next week.
Yeah. Another little quick tidbit, because, you know, an insider wanted us to bring this up. They had some information. They posted about the team series championship format, but then they also posted some stuff about Guilds of Ravnica and how the release of Guilds and the release of the card image gallery will work. It's actually going to be posted on Wednesday, September 19th. Normally, so it's going to be a little bit earlier than the normal time. So it's I guess that's like the only tidbit that I you know kind of got from that.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I don't think they intimated at any early spoils as far as like throwing a bone at Nationals or anything like that, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
What is a good time? Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What is a good target for hold time on Commander's sealed product? How long is it appropriate to hold it sealed versus cracking and buy listing?
As in, you got it at release? Like you're wondering, I've buy brand new release and should I hold it?
Yeah,
or should I crack it?
It depends on the deck. Luckily, I mean, for the last round, it ended up being a few of them were pretty lucrative to hold on to. But it really just depends on the deck.
The supply, from what I understand, the supply has increased with every new commander set that they've done. I think there's a boatload of C-17s still out there, so I'm inclined to believe
it definitely is still like dwindling in terms of you walk into a Walmart and you see these still.
Yeah.
Like they're definitely not nearly in abundance. And we're what, 6 months out?
Well, no, I think
way longer.
There was somebody, I think it was
Dylan or someone in the Discord that was saying that they've got tons of Commander 17 still left. So I think that there's actually, there's this increase in supply every release. So I would be, especially if they're doing something new with this one, and they, you know, given the popularity of Commander and given how much more that they've been increasing the supply, I would wager you probably, I don't know, I think you're gonna be looking at a long time holding these before they go up in value.
I mean, if one is like a lot better than the others and it's like in really high demand, you know, Atraxa comes to mind, but I think that was like a lower print. I don't think any one of the, like, there was a few that were, you were kind of still ahead, but none of them really got to like the Atraxa levels. I mean, one of them, you know, I believe the vampire one was like pretty even because it had like a $30 card in it, but had like the Teferi card, so that was pretty much like free, almost like a $30 like discount off the Commander product. $25.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You know, just kind of be around if you can on Monday. That's kind of when all this hysteria starts. So can't wait for that.
I mean, and bear in mind, you know, if you really want it, you know, go ahead and use store credit on getting some of this stuff. I don't know what the pre-sale, actually the pre-sales up at most of the merchants have started, so no channels got them up and card came.
I know a few folks, especially in the Discord. I mean, it's crazy how much value, like even from other insiders, like, you know, we can only point out so much. I mean, it's really an awesome exchange of information. Like there was that 100, like the coupon, and you know, folks were getting sets for $100 or something like that. It was like nuts, like 109 or something like that. It's crazy. Like that's, wow. I mean, you cannot go wrong there. Like that's an auto buy. So it doesn't even matter if you like resell it or not.
No.
Go ahead.
Shox in RTR in the Return of Ravnica. Chaz, what do you think?
I don't think so.
I don't either. And the more that I've been talking with people, so I posted a question in Discord, which was, would Shox be beneficial or hurt Standard? And the feedback I got, which was, I mean, I don't know how correct this is, was that no, they would not be beneficial to Standard. And not just for some like, oh, they're too powerful, but apparently given the, whatever the cycle we have or whatnot, they wouldn't really fit. So with that in mind, I'm really getting close to thinking they're not going to be in there. However, the problem with that, again, as I've said in the past, problem is they instantly sell sets. So the business motivation is there for them to include. But from what I'm gathering, they wouldn't make too much sense as far as what we have in Standard currently. So I don't know. It's tough to say, but I'm leaning.
It certainly makes sense for them to do it. You know, if any time it's now, it's like Ravnica and all that, and I get that. I don't know. I just have like this kind of weird feeling that they may not be in it just because like they may want Ravnica to, you know, honestly just kind of like stand on its own without Shox. I don't know. They could definitely go that direction. Maybe it's a new land. I don't know.
Well, there was another comment. Someone was saying that, you know, WotC this year has this kind of theme of innovation and kind of like new stuff and really making the sets interesting, maybe. So maybe that, you know, that also means, okay, we don't really get them in Ravnica. I don't know. If you ask me from a play standpoint, it's looking like it, I don't think that it would make sense for them to be in there. From a business standpoint, yeah, they make sense because they'll just blow out the sales of the sets. As far as actionable, like what to do, if they're not in there, the Shox are going to go up, which would be great. I would love it if they don't include them for the sake of the secondary market value of the old Shox, because they will all go up. In fact, there will probably be a hype period where they just get, you know, they go up like maybe 50%, if not more. I don't think they're going to shoot through the moon because there's too many of them still in the market, but you definitely, I don't think there's anything wrong with acquiring them cheap if you can. Like, if you don't have them now, you might as well have them, because if they don't get reprinted, they are going to gain in value. Mm-hmm. And then as far as I remember someone suggesting that maybe they're going to be in the guild packs. There's the supplemental that's going to go along with this. I had a store owner that told me they thought the same thing. And at first I thought, okay, maybe that makes sense. But then after talking to Discord, it's kind of like, why would they waste so much value? That's like putting fetch lands in a kind of a sort of secondary, supplemental to
a like
main
a
set.
Like a dual deck.
Sense. Yeah, like a dual deck. And I know they put, you know, they Windswept Heath. That was one fetch land. And there's no real history of them just loading these things with like a cycle that has that much value. So I don't know how much. Come on, I don't know how much I agree with that. How much I agree. They did that before. Fetches in Commander 18.
What?
Oh, no.
Oh, they. Oh, I see. Chat believes there will be fetches.
Oh, okay. He's calling out. I see. Okay.
You know, I could definitely see that happening.
The Challenger decks, I don't consider the same kind of thing. Challenger decks are, it's almost like they're their own product line in a sense. I feel like the guild decks are, they're just not, they're kind of like dual decks. I feel like they're a lesser kind of supplemental product, if that makes sense. I don't know. I just don't see it. I think there's too much value that come from the shocks. Like you could put those in a standard set and just blow out sales. So yeah, I would say I would be getting them. I would not be hoarding massive shocks because if they do reprint them, the old ones are going to dip a bit. But look, might as well hedge in the event that they don't print it because they're going to go up, you know, a decent amount. So that's where I'm
yeah,
at.
Yeah, I mean, it can really go back and forth. I mean, I'm solidly 50-50 on it. I mean, I could totally get it. It just kind of like, you know, the player in me that wants to see like all new stuff would kind of see it as a cop out. Like, oh, Ravnica, and here we are, shocks again, like for the third time. Like, right. You know, so, you know, but I get it. It's like a place on Ravnica. It's like, why would that change? You know, Stomping Grounds and Godless Shrine and all that stuff are places on Ravnica. So I get it. But at the same time, it's like, literally shocks again.
Yeah. Are you a buyer for shocks now?
They can't get much lower. So I would just grab them if you need them.
Yeah. And listen, you know, there's probably enough sentiment in the market that they are going to get reprinted that you can probably get them. You might be able to get them for discounted prices easier than you would in the past. I mean, people might be thinking, yeah, they're probably going to get reprinted. So you could probably get them, you know, pretty fairly easily. So I would say if you were looking to have them, you might kind of be getting them. And if you just want to spec on them, yeah, I would go for it. I wouldn't be hoarding a lot, but I would be a buyer. I'd be a buyer if you can get them at, you know, TCG low or less. I'd go for it.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not going to be, like, upset that they're in the set, but it's like, you know, I mean, I've been through two Ravnica sets already, and it's like, I get it, but it's like kind of like, yeah. I want to see, like, new cards sometimes. Like, reprints are great, don't get me wrong, and it definitely opens up a lot of, like, market movement, and obviously it's great opportunities for folks that are, you know, vested in this, you know, aspect of the game, but after a while, it's like, okay, like, this is getting old.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't ignore the fact that they have to sell sets. They blew it out of the water with Dominaria, and they need to keep that traction going.
Yeah, they do.
So you know, as unfortunate that's a very harsh reality to face. And in light of that reality, I have to go, well, okay, with that in mind, yeah, I mean, put the shocks in there. You're going to sell the set, so we'll see. But go for it.
Does Ravnica have a greater chance of having shocklands or masterpieces, or both?
I would say masterpieces. Okay. I would say masterpieces. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's what I'm inclined to go with. I think that they can then get away with doing something different. But still have something that's really exciting. Now, I want to bear in mind, I want to go on the record saying I'm not saying that I think masterpieces are going to be in, like, I'm right. Bullish on that. I'm saying that if you're asking me between the two, my current position is I'm more inclined to believe that they're going to go with masterpieces.
Right. Yeah. Because if there's no shocks, masterpieces makes up for that, right? Like, would you agree with that? Or
absolutely,
you still
yeah.
feel like shocks had to be in it to sell the set?
No. If you have masterpieces, you're going to blow out the set, especially because we've had a nice break from masterpieces.
Yeah.
Well, so sort of a nice break. It hasn't been that long. I mean, actually, if you ask me, I would love to see them not do.
That's been pretty much a year.
Yeah, I would like to see a new land type that is really, really strong that they introduce. That's what. When I say land type, I don't mean like a different land that is very powerful. that has kind of eternal playability that is introduced in Ravnica. That to me would match the whole goal of a year of innovation and newness and whatnot, 25 years, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
No masterpieces, no shocks, but something really good and new and cool. To me, that's probably what everybody would like to see, I would think. If that doesn't happen, then I would say masterpieces and the shocks. That's where my head's at.
I can agree with you there. Like it's the last set to kind of round that off. You know, they had a year of like these awesome sets, a ton of innovation, and they tried to push a land cycle as far as they can to almost rival duels or something like that.
Yep.
Like as literally as far as you could.
Is Legendary Duel still a thing that's 100% a thing that they can do, right? That's not a functional reprint.
I mean, everyone goes back and forth on this, but I think the overall consensus is no.
Got it. Okay. No. Yeah.
I feel like we had confirmation about that. I believe it was actually a post to Marrow. So it's a no.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so that's not gonna happen. So something else, something different, something interesting. We'll see. We'll see what happens, you know.
Yeah. I mean, if like I said, they'll push it as far as they can to be as, you know, to be as close as they can without, you know, breaking that spirit of the reserve list nonsense.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, like I said, you know, there's a lot of different things they could do to sell it.
Speaking of reserve lists, actually, that's something interesting. Did you read the two articles, Chaz? That sigh makes it sad. It wasn't from Seth. It was
One of them. There was one from Seth.
I was referring to the promise. There was one promissory estoppel article, and then there was Dan Bach's article. I didn't know there was a Seth article.
Yeah, that was the...
No, the promissory estoppel was not Seth. That was a different guy. I believe, a lawyer. Yeah,
I know it was like on like from Goldfish though, right?
From Goldfish, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Seth set that up. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he didn't write it. Did you read both of those by any chance?
I skimmed through the promissory estoppel one. I did not read Dan Bach's.
I strongly recommend everyone read Dan Bach's article. If you guys want, I can link it afterwards. It's just kind of a memo he did. I think it was on Tumblr or something like that. It's a very, very good piece. I mean, he kind of editorializes some stuff and gets creative with it. But some of the most interesting points he makes is sort of the market depth of how much the reserve list really takes up as far as value. And it's much deeper than I thought. It's multiple billions. it's literally like in the billions as far as like – it's pretty astounding. So I don't know if anybody else read it or what you guys thought. I guess, Chaz, you haven't read it. If you get a chance, maybe you can read it and you can chat about it next time.
I'll read Dan's,
Or skim through it. But it's really, really interesting. And, you know, he makes some valid points. But mostly the reason I bring it up is less so the promissory estoppel and reserve list stuff, but more so about, you know, we had a pretty lengthy conversation here about the scalability of Magic and whether or not – you know, you can make real money in Magic. And frankly, after reading Bach's article and just kind of watching the market as I have over the past couple of years, I would say, yeah, I mean, it's not a place for millionaires to create more millions, as I said to Sig when we were talking about it. But you can make a significant amount of money through Magic. The money is there. I mean, these multi-million dollar companies would not exist if there was no money in this game. So I thought it was really interesting. I strongly recommend you guys go and reading both Article Fish and the Bach article, and I'll link them both in here after we're done. But there's a lot of money in Magic. I think more money than people realize. So
turns out and that was kind of reinforced a bit, at least from the Estoppel article on Goldfish. I mean, it was really well done. I'm actually glad that, you know, I kind of rolled my eyes just because Seth kind of beats this drum like every other month, it seems like. But it's just a large, like, tangled, you know, litigation that is just not in the best interest of Wizards. And that's kind of like what I got from this, reading through that, at least from a lawyer standpoint, and just knowing just like an overall like meta perspective of just litigation in general. Like this is just not something they want to do.
It just does not, they
would rather keep the course of what they're doing now, you know, branch out their IP, you know, make you know, jump into the digital realm with Magic Arena, you know, continue innovating and releasing sets. I mean, obviously they don't need the reserve list. They don't need to reprint the reserve list. They just had a set that was one of the best selling sets of all time. I mean, to date. I mean, yeah. And that was two sets ago. It wasn't like a year ago. It wasn't 2 years ago. It was like a couple months ago.
Yeah.
So they don't need to go that direction. And, you know, I've been saying that forever. I mean, people just keep, you know, bringing up this argument. It's like they would honestly just move on. Like, that's why they do the things they do and why, you know, certain formats, you know, aren't propped up like they used to be and, you know, and so on and so forth. I mean, it's all by design. I mean, they do it for a reason.
Yep.
They'd rather just like honestly just go away. Like, it's there. Yep. They acknowledge that it's there. They're not really going to do anything. You know, people are going to get upset, but the percentage of people that are going to keep complaining about dual lands and other cards for like EDH, like, it's, you know, honestly pretty minuscule.
Yeah. Yeah. And Dan's article as well. Hey, Dan goes a little deeper into reasoning as to why, you know, it just doesn't make, it wouldn't make sense. And there could be a lot of backlash legally and whatnot. So, you know what? I honestly wish that more of the community would focus less on things like reserve lists and whatnot. And I wish it would focus more on like boosting the community up. Like, I don't know if anybody else has noticed, but I feel like there's just an increasing amount of just, I don't know if toxicity is the right word, but it's like black and white, which, you know, me versus you, us versus them. Like, I've just found that over the course of the past, particularly the past couple of years, it seems like this community has gotten more and more sort of divisive amongst each other. And it's really unfortunate. So I feel like rather than going back and forth on whether or not the reserve list is going to, you know, is going to be abolished or not, it's like, I feel like we should come together as a community and focus more on strengthening the community and sort of making it, improving it, as it were.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that too, Chaz?
Like I said, we have these arguments, and you know, it just keeps like going in circles. And I agree. It's like, we'd rather just focus on other stuff. I mean, This literally just happens where, you know, anything that could be said about certain situations and certain subjects has pretty much been said over the years. I mean, I don't know what else, you know, more you can say. I mean, I would rather, you know, focus our efforts on other things that are important.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, I just spoke to Atheros, who owns Magic.com and Universe Games. Sounds like he is going to be coming on next week to join us.
Sounds good.
To discuss WotC Direct. So that'll be next week's cast. We'll just be a deep dive into that and kind of get his perspective there. We can chat about it. So yeah, I think that wraps us up for this week, Jess.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too. So I'm going to be totally honest here. And I mean, just to really address one question about the triple format Pro Tour and looking into Legacy, it does seem like, you know, after all the dust settled, we're looking at Miracles, some Delver decks. We're looking at Stoneblade decks. Stoneblade decks. And what was this other one? Death and Taxes. I mean, it's still pretty healthy. I mean, there's a lot of different decks. I just don't know if there's one thing that hasn't been talked about that's like, yeah, this is the thing. Like, that's going to increase. Like, trying to find stuff from Miracles. You know, Miracles seems like okay, but I mean, really, what is there that's not already pretty expensive? You know, almost everything from Stoneblade has increased. I mean, with Brightling, True Name is down. Maybe True Name can bounce back a little bit. I mean, it is a mythic, so you know, maybe it bounces back. But I mean, Council's Judgment I talked about last week, that increased. Brightling, I mean, I just not seeing a ton of stuff. I mean, maybe I saw Rob post about Grizzlebrand. Maybe. I mean, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, that's pretty low.
I mean, it is a four of. It's like the lowest it's ever been.
Yeah.
Short of that, I don't really. I got to be honest with you. It was a struggle this week. I was really struggling. Like, you know, we were talking about this pre-cast. I mean, we normally keep, like, throughout the week, like, notes about, you know, the stocks and, like, you know, what folks talk about. And, I mean, we used to look at stocks and, like, we would see, like, pretty, you know, some things that jump out at us. But, I mean, when you have an entire update and almost every card is like in double digits, it's like really hard to look at, you know, stuff that's easily, you know, something that we can suggest. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I found one that I kind of like on the back of all the wall hype, and that's Wall of Nets, which is from Exodus and is still around $2-3. I could see that one go along with junk, just went out of it, and was randomly, not randomly, but it's just been going through the roof like $6 now, I think. So I like Wall of Nets. I think that could be another one that ends up seeing a bump to about $6. And you can get it for about $2 or $3 now. So, yeah. And I mean, in lieu of us having a lot of picks, I really like this idea of having an insider pick.
Yeah. So why don't we like inaugurate, you know, this cast as just all insider cast, and I'm cool with that. I'll start it off like A++ job on Arcane Artisan. That was completely like Discord. I mean, I know we talked about it a little bit, like just Battle Bond in general. You know, I was talking about Brightlane, but that was mostly just reports and like folks, you know, jumping in on that early. That saw a ridiculous increase. Ridiculous yep. increase on foils and non-foils.
The foils are like $80 now?
Yeah. Crazy.
I mean, is that like the DAC Fate of the set as far as foil? Is that turning into that?
I think it's Brightlane.
Or is Brightlane still? Is Brightlane $100?
I mean, they're both pretty close. I mean, it definitely got up there. I know it's set at around 80, but they were selling like, you know, a little bit above that, at least for a little bit. But I think it's the tie between like Brightling and this.
Yeah, I guess it was
Femurif Enchantress. My goodness, that was a good one too.
Tiff Jub, I think, was it Tiff Jub that made the call here? It sounds like people are calling him out. So yeah, whoever collectively you guys, yeah, good job on that. Yep.
But yeah, let's open it up.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's open it up. So what do we got for? So what are we calling this? The peanut gallery pick? I mean, it's a shame. It's a damn shame that it's not had something to do with Mr. Miyagi, but Mr. Miyagi's definitely a huge insider joke here, but cause I look at off topic all the time and somehow every few days Cobra Kai comes up.
Miyagi's money.
Oh yeah. I like that. Yeah. It is a great show. It is a great show.
Oh yeah, Cobra Kai is the best thing.
And Star Wars comes up a lot. Like, I don't know why, but I mean, just get over it. Like, I don't understand. I mean, either you like Star Wars or you don't like Star Wars. Like, that's pretty much it. Go in, like, what are you expecting? This is not, you know, the 70s. Like, that was literally lightning in a bottle. You're never going to replicate that ever again. I'm like, damn, even the first three movies are over 10 years old. Do you understand? Like, I was, what'd they come out? When did the episode one come out, Tark? Like 2002?
Yeah. No, it was earlier than that. I think it was 2001.
It's like 17 years ago. I was 12. Like, get over it. If you don't like it, don't watch it. I don't get it.
Miyagi's money. What do you think?
Miyagi's money. Let's do it. All right.
All right. So Miyagi's money is either going to go down in value. And your insider picks make up Miyagi's money. That's your currency.
Yeah, yeah.
Papu, that's what we're doing here.
That's what we're doing. So it's like a currency? Is this how we're doing
no,
this?
No. I'm just giving
it. Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's just a metaphor. No,
yeah,
it's just a metaphor. It's, yeah.
That's all right, let's do it. So one of them, so Tiff Jub Containment Priest. I like that one. I was looking at that one, but it's already $25.
Well, it doesn't matter. Wait, remember now.
Kind of increase.
Hang on. It doesn't matter if we like it.
No,
or not.
I know. I mean, I get it. I mean, it's going in, but I mean, I'm just saying, it's all time high right now.
So who's making? So yeah, everybody that wants to make a pick can contribute. Whoever's in the cast and you have a pick, you can contribute one. We're not gonna take a whole laundry list of.
Yeah,
but
we'll do five. We'll do three every cast. Max three.
I would say we open it up to anybody that.
Guillaume's gonna have an overload.
If you're in the coverage, there's not too many people in the coverage. I can't believe everybody. Guillaume, what do you want? Okay, he says thank you. All right, we'll make it. We'll keep it. We'll cap it at three. So you guys collectively get three picks. Everyone, we gotta have some kind of agreement here on what they're gonna be. All right,
five. So, Guillaume's giving you five. That's a lot.
Five. So you guys get five.
Max five. You can use any number below that, but maximum five.
So pitch out five.
because Tarkan is last week's when he gets 8. Custody Lich Foil. Power Matrix Insider Kicks with a gi. I like that. Power Matrix Foil and Non and Containment Priest. Sterling Grove and Cadaver's Bloom. Scratch Containment Priest.
Wait, hang on, Papu. Hold on. Let's give you a final list here.
Yeah, we're gonna give a final list. I like this. This is cool.
Yeah, this is fun. People are typing, so we'll give you guys a second.
Yeah.
We can't ruminate too long on this, guys.
Yeah, every week there's gotta be like some discussion beforehand. So I know this is like the first inaugural week, so we're gonna give you guys some little bit of extra time, but gotta lock it in. Power, have some conviction.
Yeah.
All right. If you're not gonna give me a list, I'm gonna just pick.
So foil, far I'm seeing, yeah, foil. So foil.
Foil Kenriths, Custody Lich Foil. Are you going to count my pick from last week? So we'll count it from last week. Yeah.
Let's give him Cadaver. Yeah, Cadaver's Bloom.
I like Cadaver's
Bloom. That's a reserve pick. If you guys are on that, we'll give you Cadaver's Bloom. That's an interesting one.
Oh yeah, the foil. So those are the pre-release foils. I'm buying pack foils. Okay, so all kinds of foils. So just foil every Kenriths. Foil all the foils of Kenriths. Cadaver's Bloom.
Power Matrix.
Power Matrix.
Yeah, foil and non-foils.
We said Cadaver's Bloom, right? Yeah. Power Matrix and foil Custody Lich.
How many is that? Five?
Five, right?
Okay, guys. Chad's going to spit them out, and unless there's overwhelming dissent, we're going to run with it. Go for it.
Yeah. Foil all of the foils of the Will Kenriths. Foil Custody Lich, Cadaver's Bloom, Power Matrix, and
foil and non-foil Power Matrix.
Yeah, that was it.
That's four.
Okay, I think, yeah, then that's four.
They get five. What's your fifth one, guys? Is that it?
No, we can just leave it, yeah. Oh, Sterling Grove, Mike.
No,
unless
we're not
counting Kenriths as two cards, nah.
No.
No, yeah, Mike said it way up there, Sterling Grove a couple times. So Sterling Grove.
All right, there we go.
Yep, boom. All right, folks, that is going to wrap it up tonight. Awesome. First cast with the insider picks is locked in. Thank you.
That's fun.
Guillaume.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
We'll give you guys a heads up next. So just now you know we're going to do this every week. So next week where you guys are throwing around, you know, kind of chatting amongst yourselves, just go ahead and come up with some picks and we'll do it next week.
All right. Where can they find you on the internet, Tark?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at @the_Tark, T-A-R-K. I also work with the guys over at the MTG Finance Central Facebook page. You can chat with me there. And as always, I'm in the QS Discord.
Yep, best place to find me is the QS Insider Discord. You can find my work every week on Quiet Speculation. And yeah, just at me and we'll talk it out on Discord. Yep, I'm always around and try to answer as best I can. So yeah, good cast, everyone. Good cast, Tark. We will see you next week. We'll have Athreos Angelo on from Magic.Cards to talk about the WotC Direct stuff. And yeah, it should be a good cast. It should be really informative. That's going to wrap it up. So good night, everyone.
Good night.